You are listening to Dr. Rob White with the AULC Ministries. You can find us on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, TalkShoe and Verbal. Be sure to visit www.aulc.us for more free resources.
Today's scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 49 to 56. I came to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already set ablaze. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how it consumes me until it is finished. Do you think that I came here to give peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, right away you say, a storm is coming, and so it does. And when the south wind is blowing, you say, it's going to be a scorcher, and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky, but why don't you know how to interpret this time? May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Hello and welcome to the AULC Ministries message this week. I am Dr. Rob White. We're so happy that you can spend a little time with us. So without further ado, let's get into it and we'll move on. Now, sometimes we want to know what's going to happen in the future. Some people will turn to psychics and will say, you know, tell me what my future is. Other people looks at horoscopes. Meteorologist tells us if it's going to be stormy or sunny so we can plan a picnic or plan to stay inside and just read. And sometimes during the day you may wonder or think about what will you have for dinner? You wonder, will there be a dessert after dinner? Some people even count the days until their birthday. During the summer, perhaps kids think about who the new teachers are going to be when they go back to school. They may wonder what they're going to be when they grow up. Jesus says we should think about the future, especially our future with God. But he also advises us to think about the present time, the time right now. He advises us to be aware of what is going on around us right now. Now notice some things. The way the sun shines through the rain, causing a rainbow. The way a flower grows. The way the moonlight shines through your window. You notice the pattern of the stars or how a stone feels in your hand. Just how good fresh bread coming out of the oven smells or while it's baking. How good it makes us feel to be hugged by someone who loves us. Noticing and being grateful for God's gifts is a way of living our lives to the fullest. It's how we live in the present time. Now, today, this very day, we can be aware and thankful for the beauty and love that is around us. Living the life God has planned out for each one of us. The prophet Isaiah calls Jesus the Prince of Peace. In Isaiah 9:6, that's the way we like to think of him, a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, a Prince of Peace. I can hardly consider those words without hearing a choir singing Handel's Messiah. Prince of Peace, we need peace. Our world today is turbulent. Our lives are turbulent. And we would welcome the Prince of Peace today. But in our gospel lesson today, Jesus startles us by telling us that he has not come to bring peace. He says instead he's come to bring division. He spells out what that means in very painful detail. He says that families will be divided because of him. In a family of five people, three will be for Jesus, two will be against. Or two will be for Jesus and three will be against. Father will line up against son, and son against father, and mother will line up against daughter, and daughter against mother. That bothers us. We know that family relationships sometimes break down, and we find that pretty sad. But we want Jesus to be a solution to that problem, not the cause of the problem. But here in our gospel lesson today, Jesus warns us that he will bring division. Sometimes it's literally true that Jesus divides families. Many of us have at some time in our lives known a young person who's been alienated from his or her parents because he or she has not chosen the same religious path that the parents wanted. They chose something else and the parents didn't approve. There was one occasion where a wedding between a Catholic man and a Jewish woman, and it was a big wedding, it was very fancy. Everyone from both families was there and they were all trying to behave, but you could have cut the tension with a knife. The young couple's marriage was hard for both families to accept. Jesus tells us in our scripture lesson today, "Do you think I've come to give peace on the earth? I tell you no, but rather division. From now on, there will be five in one household divided, three against two and two against three." Jesus is warning us that his call to discipleship will not lead to an easy life. He's warning us that the Christian road is not wide and smooth, but narrow and pocked with potholes. He's telling us to expect that if we follow him, we should not be surprised to find that people will be opposing us, even in our workplace, in our churches, in our neighborhoods, even in our own family. Our families are the core of our being. We experience our closest relationship within our families. It'd be an exaggeration to say that within families, all is love. Indeed, we experience not only love, but we also experience anger and frustration and all sorts of emotions within families. We would like to believe in storybook endings like princes and princesses and happily ever after, but we know that marriage is not always like that. Some years ago, someone asked Ruth Graham if she ever considered divorcing her husband Billy Graham, and she says, "No, I will never have considered divorce." She paused for a moment and continues, "Homicide maybe, but never divorce." Most women can understand that. Our family doesn't have to be perfect, though. They have to be important, and they don't have to be perfect to be important. Our family, with all of its warts and its bumps, is at the center of our being. It shapes us. It gives us identity. It's the place where we feel most connected. It makes us who we are. In a magazine article, a man from Mississippi, Scott Bruner, said, "When you meet a true Southerner, the first question he'll ask you is, 'Who's your daddy?' The next one will be, 'Where do you go to church?'" Think about it for a minute. Both of those questions have to do with families. "Who's your daddy?" has to do with your earthly family. "Where do you go to church?" has to do with your spiritual family. It's no coincidence that people in the South often speak of having a church home or a church family. It was even more so in Jesus' day. People tend to live in one place for their whole lives. They knew their neighbors. Family relationships were all important. People knew who you were because they knew your mom and your dad. The family gave you identity. It also helped you to survive. In this day and age today, unlike back then, they didn't have public welfare. They didn't have Social Security. They didn't have company pension plans. Very few people could save enough money to see them through their old age. Their family was their safety net. Families took care of their own. They took care of the young and the old and the sick. And without your family, you were alone in a very tough world. Jesus says, "Do you think I've come to give peace in the earth? And I tell you no, but rather division. From now on, there will be five in one household divided, three against two and two against three." He's telling us Christian discipleship will not be easy. He's telling us Christians need to expect opposition. He's warning us that faithful discipleship can lead to big trouble. The reason? Simple. Jesus came to redeem a sinful world. And a sinful world, well, it simply doesn't want to be redeemed. Jesus came to transform sinners, and sinners don't want to be transformed. Jesus came to usher us from the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of God. That transition can be as disorienting as a Marine Corps boot camp. Jesus says that the kingdom of God is an upside-down world in which we first shall be, the first shall be last, and the last will be first. The kingdom of God is an upside-down world in which we're called to care for the poor and the vulnerable instead of trying to make friends with the rich and powerful. Jesus calls us to start living by the kingdom of God rules right now. That's tough. It's also dangerous, and it causes all sorts of conflicts. There's no shortage of stories to illustrate the difficulties associated with being a committed Christian. In Jacksonville, Florida, members of the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church warned their pastor, Pastor John Guns, that there was a $25,000 bounty on his head because of his work to clean up the area. Who could possibly oppose cleaning up a poor neighborhood? Well, drug dealers, of course. Criminals. $25,000 petty cash to those kind of people. Pastor Guns, he was encouraged by the demonstration on his behalf by a large group of pastors and other Christians. A city councilwoman, Ginger Soud, she said, "The answer to the problems in our society is the church." She told Pastor Guns, "I support you personally, spiritually, and politically. You are doing the right thing." And that, of course, was the problem. Pastor Guns was doing the right thing, and that offended people who had bad things on their minds. It reminds me of an American missionary family that I heard of in Vietnam. The husband and the wife were an attractive couple. Their daughter must have been, 10, 12 years old. The three of them lived among the Vietnamese in the city of Can Thao. It was a dangerous place. You could venture into Can Thao during the day, but at night, you would be glad to retreat behind guarded walls. I often wonder how parents could bring their daughter to such a place like that. I thought that they must be the bravest people that I've ever heard of. The fact is, Christians have been going into harm's way for centuries to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Their efforts have borne much fruit. The world's a very different place because of their efforts. But they have taken grave risk and have sometimes paid a terrible price. But the God of the upside-down kingdom, he makes it right. The God who turns the world's foolishness into wisdom and the world's weakness into strength also makes it right for those who seek first God's kingdom. Philip Yancey is a well-known Christian journalist who has interviewed many people during his career. He divides those people into two groups, stars and servants. Stars include great athletes, movie stars, and celebrities. Yancey talks about how we envy people like that, how we almost worship them. Then he says, "Yet I must tell you that in my limited experience, these, our idols, are as miserable a group of people that I've ever met." He goes on to tell about their troubled marriages and their dependence on psychotherapy. Then Yancey talks about the servants, the missionaries, the people like Dr. Paul Brand, who worked in rural India among leprosy patients. He talks about the Wycliffe translators serving in remote areas among primitive tribes. He says, "I was prepared to honor and admire these servants, to hold them up as inspiring examples. I was not, however, prepared to envy them. But as I now reflect on the two groups side by side, stars and servants, the servants clearly emerge as the favored ones, the graced ones. They work for low pay, long hours, no applause. They're wasting their talents and skills among the poor, the uneducated. But somehow, in the process of losing their lives, they have found them. So Jesus brings conflict, but he also brings peace. The conflict which he brings is like a surgeon's knife, poised not to hurt, but to heal. Seek first God's kingdom. Put Christ first in your life. Seek to do the right thing. Jesus does not promise that it'll be an easy road, because we fight evil powers. Jesus does, however, promise to bless us in the end. And in the end, he'll bring us peace. That's our Lord's message for this Lord's Day, and I hope that you got a blessing out of it. Go out this week, be a blessing and be blessed, because the more you're a blessing, the more you will be blessed. I'm Dr. Rob White for the AULC Ministries, and find out more on our website at www.aulc.us, and hope to see you again next week. Thank you for coming.